You're listening to the RSA Conference podcast, where the world talks security.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this episode of our RSAC 365 podcast series. We are thrilled to be recording today's podcast live. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tatiana Sanchez.
And I'm Casey Zirkus.
And we are your RSA Conference podcast hosts. We are excited to be joined as, you know, near conference, RSA Conference 2024. We are excited to be joined by the DevSecOps Program Committee members, Chris Romeo, Akira Brand, and Jennifer Chaplesky, who will discuss what trends they see on their track, what stood out to them, and what they are excited about for RSA Conference 2024 in May. Today's podcast is sponsored by Cohesity. In today's world, you must safeguard your data. Cohesity makes it easy for organizations to secure and manage their data across data centers, edge, and clouds. Cohesity, the leader in AI-powered data security and management. Learn more at cohesity.com.
Thank you, Cohesity, for that. And before we get started, I want to remind our listeners that here at RSAC, we host podcasts twice a month. So I encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review us on your preferred podcast app so that you can be notified when new tracks are posted. And I would also love it if each of our guests could take a quick moment to introduce themselves, share a little bit about your history with RSA Conference, let our listeners know why we are here with all of you today. Chris, why don't we start with you?
Happy to go first. So thanks, Casey. Before 2015, I had visited RSA Conference one time as an attendee. And during my career at Cisco, I had an idea for a talk and I submitted it in 2015. And Dawn Capelli, who lots of people in the RSAC family know quite well, she was part of Human Element Track. They took a chance on me and they invited me to the stage. And so from there, I was invited to join the committee, as a lot of people kind of would make their way in from that perspective. And I'm proud to say this will be my 10th year speaking at RSA Conference in a row. So I'm excited about this. And this is, RSA Conference is such a powerful thing for me. Not only do I get to see all of my friends that I've made in my 26-year career in security, but I get to interact with folks that are in college studying cybersecurity that come up and say, hey, can we talk about this thing? It's such a powerful event. And that's why I love it so much. And it's such a big part of, it has been a big part of my life and my career.
And what I love about that, Chris, is that you pay that forward, right? Someone took a chance on you, and then you took a chance on our next guest, Akira, inviting her to join you in the DevSecOps Program Committee. So, Akira, let's hear from you.
Yeah, sure. So, hi, everyone. My name is Akira Brand. I'm an application security engineer. I actually have never been to RSA before, so this will be my first year being involved with the RSA conference. I am thrilled to be able to participate in this manner. Very humbled. It is so amazing to see all the different talks. So many imaginative submissions that we got this year, which was just such a blast. I've been speaking for, oh my gosh, I want to say 6 years now on different technical topics throughout my career. I will also be speaking this year at RSA. It'll be my first time, and I'm just really grateful for that opportunity. I'm speaking actually with Jennifer. And yeah, so I'm just really glad to be here. It's been an interesting ride, and I'm really looking forward to talking about especially like what we were looking for when we were looking at these submissions and just sort of the trends that we saw.
Awesome. And Jennifer, over to you.
Hi, everyone. I do get excited about RSA, and I was looking at the calendar, and we've got like 5 weeks. And I'm really excited. For a lot of the reasons that Chris said, and a lot of the reasons that Akira is excited to go for the first time. So, I've been working in security for 15 years, in application security for 10 years. And I think, Chris, when you were talking, I think I went to your first talk. I think that was my first year of RSA. I'm having like a flashback. I don't know how we've ever not said that out loud, but I think I was there. And what I love is what everybody loves. It's one-stop shop. It's really great to see cutting-edge vendors, really established vendors, but really practitioners. And we kind of call them RSA friends, and that's true. Like, I see Chris once a year at RSA. Akira, I can't wait to meet you in person, hopefully on Sunday. And you meet people that are doing what you do, but in different areas. And so you make connections and you continue those connections throughout the year. And then you kind of get to cap it all off with once a year, this in-person, probably pretty brief, but like really impactful time to learn from others, to share what you've learned. And I just really enjoy the week.
I love that. I love hearing it. And, you know, Linda reminded us, our vice president reminded us yesterday in a Teams post that I think, what'd she say? It was 27 business days.
Yeah.
That were out. I'm like, stop with the stress. But it is, it's coming. It's quickly approaching. And we are super excited to see you all too. It is equally for us as exciting to get together live with all of this huge community that we work with for a whole year in planning. So we're super excited. Akira, you spoke about the trends and the process of selecting the sessions on your track. So I'll turn it over to you to maybe talk about what was fascinating to you in this first year experience. What were some of the trends that you saw specific to this track that you're really excited about?
Yeah, so I was really impressed with a couple things when I was looking through the submissions. First off, the topics were so various, right? Like, I know that AI is such a huge thing right now, and I was expecting to get functionally like 50 AI submissions, but we had so many different topics. We had things that were talking about processes. We were talking about threat modeling. There was some AI, of course. And then we had like just really imaginative things about like building relationships with developers, teaching them how to threat model, things of this nature. And I was really fortunate to kind of get my eyes opened to a whole new section of my industry that I did not even know existed, right? Especially through being able to source some of the incredible talent that we were able to source to be on our track. That was just mind-blowing to me. So it was just so cool to be able to work on this with Jennifer and Chris too, because they know so many people. And it was just so cool to be like, wow, like we're going to get the people that wrote the OWASP top 10 for LLMs. Like, this is amazing. So yeah, just like, again, those trends that I saw, again, was AI, threat modeling, collaborating and conversing with developers. And yeah, I'm kind of curious too, Jennifer and Chris, what else you saw that really stood out to you as seasoned practitioners of the RSA conference?
It makes me laugh when people call me a seasoned practitioner in anything, because I feel like when I look at it, there's so much to learn. And that's why I love the application security space. That's why I love being part of the DevSecOps track. You can do this for a decade, and then you look at these submissions and you're like, wow, there's so much to learn. I'm super excited about this. I personally get a range of emotions when we start looking at the list of all the submissions that have come in. My first emotion this year was being overwhelmed. The number of submissions just seems to grow every year. And I think that reflects how important application security is, how mainstream it's no longer like a side track as part of a larger conference about hackers and threats or anything like that. Like, AppSec is just such a big deal. And then I start kind of like thinking about, what is it that we're looking for? Chris likes to talk a lot about what's novel. You come to RSA to learn something new. And so looking for that novelty, but also practicality, like novel but unpractical is, I don't know, not all that helpful. So I think that's the thing that struck me the most, is just there's a lot going on in the world that relates to application security.
Yeah, it's really that novelty with a side of case study is really what drives my my process of going through submissions. And also I've become famous in the program committee world for being kind of anti-panel. I really struggled to find a panel on the list that I want to see. And it's not that people that are going to talk at panels aren't brilliant. It's that really to find a panel, you have to find something to argue about. I don't want to watch a panel where everybody's like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Okay, I could have known that coming into it. Like, let's find something we can argue about. But on the kind of trends and things that I saw, I summarized and came up with really five different things that I saw kind of throughout our submissions. There was still a lot of talk about shift left interwoven into this and shift left. I mean, people that follow me and know I'm not a big fan of this concept. The concept is great. I think the term has been just kind of twisted around too much. there was a big focus on DevSecOps, but the challenge I had with a lot of the DevSecOps talks is there just wasn't a lot of people really pushing the industry, pushing us forward in what we saw in those submissions. There was a lot of submissions about kind of just the regular, the things that I feel like we've talked about. DevSecOps has reached a bit of a maturity in our industry. And so we were really struggling to find some things that were really on the cutting edge. And then there was a lot, still a lot of software supply chain security. Certainly, Akira mentioned a lot of AI and LLM combinations, which we were able to pick a few of those. And then another segment was empowering developers. How do we get developers to move security forward? And we were able to select some sessions that meet that objective too. And so those are really the high level things that I saw when I step back and look at the 20,000 foot view out the window of the airplane, looking down on all of our submissions.
One thing I want to mention too, that I really enjoyed was selecting practitioners to really take a second look at their talk. I talked to a lot of people in the industry that are somewhat new and they want to get started speaking. They want to get started sharing their knowledge, and they're practitioners. They're like me, right? They're engineers. And a thing I come across commonly is like, oh, I'm not a CEO. Like, I'm not a CTO. I'm not a CISO. No one's going to want to hear what I have to say. And let me tell you, if you are a practitioner, we gave your talk a second look because we want to hear from the people in the trenches. We want to hear from the people doing the work, getting their hands dirty, because yes, strategy is extremely important. Leadership is extraordinarily important, but there needs to be some kind of dialogue there, right? Between the people doing the work and the people strategizing that work. And if we can hear from you, please submit. You know, you don't have to be a high level like VP in order to speak at a conference like this. We need more practitioners.
Yeah. Here at RSA Conference, well, RSA in general, see, we like diversity, you know, so it doesn't matter really the title, what age you are, as long as, you know, your topic is very interesting and is a learning experience for listeners. That's really all that matters. And Akira, as you mentioned earlier, that you had so many topics and submissions. We've have more than 24 tracks across the agenda, which means that topically that there's a lot of overlap. So Chris, what would you say overlaps with DevSecOps and what other tracks are of interest to you?
I mean, there's a lot of tracks at RSA Conference that are of interest to me, but I find myself drawn to privacy related talks, and privacy has kind of migrated outside of the AppSec and DevSecOps track. And we've had some privacy talks in the past, but that's kind of migrated. So I'm interested in privacy. Just for me, that's a topic that I think it has blown up in the last 15 years. And I think we're only just scratching the surface of what privacy by design, privacy engineering, all these disciplines coming together. So that's one that always catches out of me. Anything that's got case studies, which allows me to cross a lot of different tracks. I like to hear, to Akira's point, I like to hear from a practitioner who's done something. And I like to hear the story. As human beings, we all like to hear stories, right? At the end of the day, we just want to hear people tell us stories. But I love to sit in a talk and hear somebody say, okay, I had this problem. I was at this company with this size of, you know, and so normally it's the scale was gigantic. And here's the steps that I used to solve this problem. Those are really the talks that really catch my attention from a general track perspective.
One thing I'll mention too is that you don't always have to talk about just your success stories. In fact, one thing we look for when you're talking about those case studies is like, what are the challenges that you faced? Like, where did you kind of fall on your face a little bit? And how did you pick yourself back up? And I'll be sharing some stuff in my talk about, you know, like, you know, I tried this and it didn't really work. But here's all the stuff I learned that I got to then apply to this next case study. And then that makes it more interesting too. So it was really cool to see the sessions that really stood out, like Chris said, were case studies. And for me, what else stood out was case studies that weren't just like perfect and prescriptive, like, oh, I did this once and it totally worked out. And now you can just replicate the same thing. Like, come on, that's not realistic. So it's good to have some realism in these talks as well.
Akira, I totally agree with that. When I go to a talk and people are having the same challenges that we're having, I feel like, oh, good, we're on the right track. Like, this isn't something that's unique just to my organization, but it helps me think about things in a way that's either reinforces, you know, what we're working on. But there's no way in application security, unless, well, if you didn't submit a talk and you've never done something that didn't work out, we want to hear from you, because that sounds almost impossible. Because I feel like everything is a zigzag toward the right answer. Like, you might have a good idea, but it doesn't work like you think. And so then you pivot and you're like, well, that helped fix that part, but it created a different problem. And so zigzagging your way toward whatever the right thing that you're trying to do is the way that we've kind of figured things out as we've gone. And I totally agree. I love practitioner talks. Nothing against academic research. That's also interesting. Certainly nothing against executives who are a few levels removed from the day-to-day workings. But where I learn the most are the people who are doing this day in and day out and can definitely understand what works, what doesn't work. You've probably tried three or four things before you got to the right answer. Those are the best talks. And honestly, those are the talks that I like to go to that aren't even in my track. I mean, I love the application security and DevSecOps track, obviously, but when I see the same thing, like mistakes that we've made and XYZ thing, I'm always like super interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I was listening to y'all, I was thinking about a parenting book that I just read. And what made the book really powerful was those case studies, those examples of like, here's theory of how to raise a child or do this right. But like, here's how it worked in practice. And so it's applicable across any discipline at all, right? Like, show us the application of that and how it worked or didn't work. What went wrong when you tried that and how did you fix it? So I love that advice. I'm sure that you all have had a chance to look at not only the sessions in your track, but look at the agenda as a whole. And hopefully you have started building out your individual schedules. So what is on your dance card? Which sessions are you most interested in?
I got to let somebody else go first because I have a long list. And so hopefully they're going to knock out a few of mine.
So that, no.
You don't have to tell us everyone, Chris. Your stalkers are going to be chasing you down.
I thought we had multiple hours. This isn't a multiple hour, multiple part podcast. Oh.
Well, I can tell you, I have more favorited than I'll ever fit in, for sure. There's no way I'm going to be able to do all of that. But what goes on my RSA dance card is also like meeting with key vendors that I'm either working with or want to be working with and connecting with other practitioners. So for me, it's not even just in the app or online that where you star all the things that you want to do, but it's like the entire experience is what I'm trying to figure out going into the week, which is 27 business days, Casey. Is that how far we have to get it going?
Well, I hate to tell you, but I think now it's like 26 or 25. I can't remember when Linda sent it out. Yeah, it's dwindling fast.
One thing I'll say, so like I said, this is my first RSA conference, and I honestly, I'm going to just take it kind of easy this first time and not try to see too many things. Otherwise, my brain will explode. But what I'm really looking forward to actually is I am going to be interviewing some people at RSA as part of the Security Weekly Productions podcast that I'm also part of. And I'm looking forward to that because I feel like it'll just give me an opportunity to get to know people in a very different manner than just like hallway conversations.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I'm not sure if that's something that regular attendees have thought about doing, is like getting involved in like those kind of creative ways. Like maybe you make a meetup or something like that. Like, I know Tanya Janka usually does a We Hack Purple meetup at events that I'll be going to as well. But I also am really passionate about safety, of course. I work in cybersecurity, so I like care about that a lot. And one thing I'm planning on doing for this conference is actually putting out a call to some people in my network of like, hey, if you're women or non-binary, do you want to go to tracks together? So that, you know, we're like kind of forming a little posse together of people that have a similar identity and like can kind of go through some tracks together and also just watch out for each other, make sure that we're all in good standing. So at this point, I'm going to hand it over to Chris because I'm hoping to get some ideas from you, Chris, about what your favorite ones to attend will be.
All right. Well, one point to remember is that talks are recorded. So you don't have to try to be in two places at once, because sometimes you'll look at the agenda and you'll go, okay, there's the, or you get caught up in what Jennifer was talking about. Like you're catching up with a friend in the hallway, or you just met some new folks that are university students and they're like, hey, there's a conversation going on. So you can go back and watch these things that are recorded after conference. And I know I like to go back and watch every talk from our track just because we chose them. And I want to see, did the talk deliver in the way that we thought it was and what made it exciting for us? But let me highlight just a couple of them here for folks that might be planning to focus on DevSecOps and AppSec track. So the first one is the end of DevSecOps. It's going to be DJ Schleen. If you've never seen DJ speak, DJ is just an incredible speaker. But I mean, the talk is the end of DevSecOps. DJ was there at the beginning of DevSecOps, and now he's calling this talk the end of DevSecOps. So that'll be really exciting to see what direction he goes and where he thinks the industry is now and where we're going. Another talk, redefining threat modeling. This is Jeevan Singh, who is just a brilliant guy. He's built programs in many different very high-profile startups, built AppSec teams, built programs, and just everything he says is brilliant about how to do this stuff. And so I just sit there and just try to take it all in as much as I can. Kira mentioned the securing AI apps with the OWASP top 10 for LLMs. That's Gavin Klondike and Steve Wilson, who are the project leads for the OWASP top 10 LLM project. Like, this is, you're getting it from the source directly. This isn't going through any intermediary. These are the folks that led a team of hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that put this list together to help us understand how AppSec and LLMs intersect. And they did it under the OWASP umbrella.
Another hey, and talk. Chris, on that one, I'll yeah. say that their slides look really great, too. I'm really excited. When I saw the idea of it, and I was like, that's going to be awesome. And the implementation seems like it's going to meet my expectations, which were super high. So I'll plus one on that one.
Yeah, and they didn't just copy their top 10 list over. They interwove it into a story to make it applicable to you as how LLMs will actually work with your AppSec program. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the best set of slides I've seen in a long time, as far as there was an easy way to do it and there was a challenging way, and they took the challenging way to make a story woven together. Two more quick ones and then I'll be done. Reducing toil in your AppSec program. That is our own Akira Brand and Jennifer here that will be delivering that. I'm excited for this idea of toil that developers are struggling with some amount of load because we keep throwing things onto them to do as security people. So I'm fascinated to hear from a big company perspective and from kind of more of a startup and mid-sized company perspective. Last one, just want to call out my friend, Dr. Kim Voots. Her talk is Shifting Privacy In. This is not an AppSec track. This is a privacy track. Shifting Privacy In, how privacy and security can benefit each other. And Dr. Voots is brilliant. She's the person behind Linden, the threat modeling methodology for privacy. And she's just a great speaker. Once again, she interweaves these real-world illustrations. She has this illustration, I still remember it today, about how ice cream and threat modeling kind of work together. And so she paints these pictures for you and helps you really put together these perspectives on it. So there's certainly many, many more, Casey and Tatanya, that I want to see. But this was my top five kind of off the top of my head here.
Nice. And I can second that. Kim's great and at explaining everything. I recently had a podcast with her, just an overview of her talk, and she explained it so well. I left pretty much knowing a lot of privacy by design than I did before. So I definitely agree.
One other one I want to call out really briefly is...
Jennifer, oh, sorry, you mentioned earlier about build out their schedule. What's the difference between favorite and reserve a seat?
Well, I favorite a bunch of stuff, and those are my, like, where I want to reserve a seat. But you can only reserve one seat for one time slot, I think. So you can favorite, like, five things at 1:40 on Tuesday, but you can't reserve seats for all of those. So I'll do both of those going into it.
And for those of you who are listening and thinking, oh, geez, I haven't favorited or reserved a seat for anything, I tossed the link to the full agenda into the chat. So you can go ahead and look through the agenda and make sure if there is a session that you want to see, like the one that Akira and Jennifer are doing, or the one that Chris is doing, you can go ahead and reserve a seat there now to make sure that you actually get a spot in that. And those that you're okay if you watch it on demand, you can just favorite to remind yourself that that's a topic of interest for you.
Hey, Akira, you were trying to chime in on something, I think.
Oh, yeah, thanks. So there's one other talk I do want to call out that I'm really excited for. This one is by Maria Mora. She's a staff AppSec engineer at SiriusXM, and she's talking about AppSec tooling selection and implementation. Let me tell you, my work right now, I work with a lot of open source projects actually to help harden their SDLC. And one of our biggest dilemmas is, what tool are we going to use? You know, we are open source. We don't have any money, or we have a little money, and we need all this monitoring. We need all this logging. We need all these SaaS tools. We need all these DAS tools or whatever it is. And like, how can we make this cheap and efficient? And I'm really looking forward to this talk in particular. So if you are like me and you are often the first AppSec hire, or you're working with like small organizations, I would definitely recommend this talk as well.
Yeah, they are a phenomenal speaker, and really appreciate them being on the agenda as well.
Chris, Jennifer, Kira, thanks so much for being here today. It was a really great and informational conversation. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. To find products and solutions related to DevSecOps, we invite you to visit rsaconference.com/marketplace. Here you'll find an entire ecosystem of cybersecurity vendors and service providers who can assist you with your specific needs. Please keep the conversation going on your social channels using #RSAC, and be sure to visit rsaconference.com for new content posted year-round.